The rising cost of food, home heating, and gas is the subject of a cabinet meeting today in the White House. President Biden has said that inflation is only temporary, but it's becoming a persistent problem for him politically. On a trip to France today, Vice President Kamala Harris acknowledged the urgency.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so we are doing what we can, making it probably one of our highest priorities. I talk to the president about it often. One of our highest priorities. We need to bring costs down for the American people.
Meanwhile, there's news today about the investigation into the January 6th Capitol riot. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us. Yamiche Alcindor is White House correspondent for PBS NewsHour, and Paul Kane is congressional reporter for The Washington Post. Hello to you both.
Hi. Thanks very much for having me.
Glad to have you both. Yamiche, let me start with you. I mean, this week we learned inflation has surged to its highest level since 1990. And just a couple of months ago, President Biden said inflation was not going to be a problem. And in the past, the White House has kind of shrugged off concerns about the supply chain as well. We're seeing an about-face on that now. What's changed?
What's changed is that Americans are having to deal with higher prices for gas, meat, all sorts of other grocery items. This is really hitting Americans in their pocketbooks, and people are worried. We're also dealing with an economy that's still recovering from a pandemic that we're still all living through. And the White House understands that there needs to be more urgency there. Now, the president has said that he thinks that part of dealing with inflation is passing the Build Back Better Act. But there are some critics who say that the White House is too focused on long-term goals and not enough short-term relief for Americans. I put that exact criticism to Brian Deese, who's the director of the National Economic Council this week. And he essentially said that the president is laser focused on these issues of inflation and soaring prices, and that along with that, infrastructure is part of his solution for dealing with that.
Right. As you say, the White House is trying to project a sense that they've got the situation under control. You mentioned the Build Back Better plan. Let's listen to a little bit more of the vice president this morning. She was saying that the Build Back Better plan, despite a $2 trillion price tag, will actually bring costs down.
It was specifically designed to bring down the costs of childcare and increase accessibility and availability, designed to bring down the cost of elder care and make it available to all those working families that need that support and need that help.
So, Paul Kane, I think a lot of folks would welcome those kinds of cost reductions, but childcare and elder care are different from the prices for goods and energy. So is this the right or wrong sales pitch right now, given that some economists are advising the president are sort of divided on whether the Build Back Better plan will in fact cause more inflation or not over the next year?
Yeah, I think the administration is trying to latch on to something to make this reconciliation Build Back Better proposal, turning it into something that it really was not intended to do. The Obama administration went through this 12 years ago, in which they were well on the way of trying to pass the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, the Republican pushback was the problem is unemployment has been hovering around 10%. And the Obama people tried to make it out as if this health care bill would deal with the jobs issue. But it was really a stretch there. And I think people will see it as a stretch here. You know, the problem, as Yamiche sort of hit, is that the inflation back in the spring when it first started bubbling up was dealing with things like rental car costs. And, you know, that was in part because nobody rented a car in the spring of 2020. And so the cost fell so much and nobody really was that concerned about rental car inflation. Now it has moved into the daily grind of middle-class households, and it's what it costs to fill up a tank of gas, what it costs to buy bacon. I mean, if bacon is under inflation, you're in a lot of trouble politically, you know. People love bacon.
Indeed. And by many metrics, the economy actually is on the upswing, right? I mean, the stock market is doing well, wages are rising, but Republicans are attacking what they call the Democrats' out-of-control spending. And I want to play this ad from the Conservative Coalition to Protect American Workers.
Biden just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand just how bad inflation's hurting Americans. Gas, groceries, housing, all skyrocketing. Yet, Biden's still pushing his massive spending plan that will cost trillions more than Biden claimed.
Yamiche, how effective is that messaging? And are voters going to remember that Republicans also voted for stimulus plans over the last year, which some economists say is actually behind the inflation we're seeing right now?
It's a great question. I think, you know, we are not that far removed from the Tuesday elections that had dismal results for Democrats. And Democrats in some ways have been really trying to push this message that their policies are to help people's lives and that their policies are not going to cost any money. They said that they're not going to add to the deficit. We're still waiting for the Congressional Budget Office to say officially whether or not that's the case. But the White House says, you know, trust us, this is the case. But Republicans, sort of the thing that they've been historically good at is convincing their voters that Democrats are wasteful, that Democrats sort of want to transform America into a sort of quote-unquote socialist society. We've heard that over the years, not just against President Biden, but also against Bernie Sanders and others. I think we'll need more time to assess sort of where voters stand on this, because I think there's also the cultural war issues that Republicans have really leaned into with false claims about critical race theory and immigration and pushing back on mask mandates. Those messages have definitely helped Republicans and helped a lot a couple weeks ago in the Tuesday elections that we saw. Mm.
And Paul, do you think President Biden is maybe looking back to some lessons he might learn from Presidents Obama and Clinton, or Carter for that matter, all Democrats who paid a real political price during times of economic instability?
That is definitely the fear, you know, and it is a question of how long this issue, how long inflation lasts, how long the sort of this job shortage that you see, this constant churn, a few million more people quit their jobs last month, and you're seeing it, the economy is coming back in traditional measures because it is opening back up. There are more people that are traveling, and there are more people that are trying to spend money that they didn't spend in 2020, and there was a massive amount of stimulus put into the economy in 2020 and 2021 by congressional action. But it has these side effects, and it's unclear how long it's going to last. If it tapers off by, you know, late winter, and, you know, gas prices come back to a normal-ish level by the summer, and the economy is fully roaring by next summer, Democrats will feel better about themselves without question. But it's just a matter of timing. And these things are hard to control. You can really, there's not a lot you can do about the supply chain as president of the United States when the supply chain issues start in Asia or other parts of the world where they don't have the coronavirus anywhere near under control and their plants are shut down or off and on. And so the lack of control over inflation is the thing that really bedevils a president when this thing starts to hit, because you don't know how to fix it because you really can't.
Yeah.
Well, then real quick, Paul, I mean, let me ask you, because you're as plugged in as anybody on the Hill. Maybe you think the public is sort of skeptical of this marketing of Build Back Better as a cure for inflation. But what do lawmakers think about it? I mean, where does it stand in Congress right now?
I think the agenda is still going strong. And to be honest, the person who on the Democratic side who was really pounding the drum on inflation back in the late winter, early spring was Larry Summers, the former Clinton and Obama economic advisor. And, you know, he is sort of took a lot of hits from the Biden economists who said he was wrong and just sort of outdated. And he's been taking a victory lap of sorts of late to say, yeah, I was right. But Larry Summers actually supports the Build Back Better agenda. He says that, you know, that his criticism was how they were pushing earlier all of this rescue money into the economy at once and more of those direct stimulus checks up to $2,000 per household were flying into houses. And he was worried that was inflationary. He says on the Build Back Better agenda, it's actually phased in over 10 years. There are offsetting tax cuts that will finance most of it. And so he's not worried about the inflationary side of it. So he's on this as part of the agenda, he's a reassuring voice for Democrats up on the Hill. Does that matter to, you know, the Senate majority leader of one, as I'm joking, Joe Manchin? You know, does Joe Manchin buy the Larry Summers pitch? We don't know. We'll have to see.
Yamiche, about a minute left here. I want to ask you about Democrats in Congress who are right now locked in a fight with former President Trump and his aides over access to White House documents pertaining to the January 6th riot on Capitol Hill. Yesterday, an appeals court temporarily halted the document release while judges review the former president's claim that as a former president, he and his aides can still claim executive privilege and withhold documents. The clock is running here, Yamiche. How significant is this delay?
It's a significant delay because Democrats know that they could be on borrowed time based on what happens in the midterms. I also think it's significant because this is the first time in U.S. history that courts have had to deal with really competing executive privilege claims from a current president and a former president. So it'll be interesting to watch for historical precedent and also just for the investigation into January 6th.
That's Yamiche Alcindor, White House correspondent for PBS NewsHour. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Also with us was Paul Kane, congressional reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks, Paul.
Happy to do it anytime.